This feature of the Science News Radio Network is coming to you from our studios in Dallas, Texas. Science News is on the air right now.
This is the promise of tomorrow, where people and industry keep up with the business of emerging and nanotechnologies. The fields covered in this series of programs will include energy, defense, aerospace, medicine, semiconductors, and more. For the next hour, Colonel Mason will introduce his experts, and you'll be on the cutting edge of the promise of tomorrow.
And it's great to be with you again. Those of you listening on radio can also hear us commercial-free online and webcast at promiseoftomorrow.biz. Exciting show today. We're all worried about, of course, the security with our power grid. Well, we have Chang Zong, who's a professor at the University of Sheffield in England, and he's got some solutions for us. You're going to really enjoy that. And then Robbie Searcy, the press officer for ERCOT, found us a great connection with Kent Santhoff. He is going to give us a real good view of what's going on with our power distribution in the state of Texas, which is one of the three largest in the country. And, of course, we're going to visit the Den of Strangers, visit our Fountain of Useless Information, and, of course, at the end of the program, listener comments of the Voice of Reason. But right now, let's get on to today's guest. Right now, we're going to go all the way to the U.K., to Sheffield, England, at the University of Sheffield. And we're going to be talking to Dr. Ching-Chung Zong, who's chair in control and systems engineering for the Department of Automatic Control and Systems Engineering at that university. And he's Ching-Chung is giving a talk at the Green Tech Conference that we're covering on this program. And the title is Control of Power Inverters and Renewable Energy and Smart Grid Integration. And he's got a lot of real interesting things to tell us. Welcome to the program, Ching-Chung.
We are going to talk about the architecture for the next generation smart grid so that we are able to allow all the players, different types of players in the power system to work together so that we can operate the power system autonomously.
Okay, that's great. Now, give us a preview of the speech. What are some of the things you're going to touch on?
Electricity has become the blood of the modern world. And actually, electrification has been selected by the National Academy of Engineering as the greatest engineering achievement of the 20th century. Mm-hmm. And power systems are regarded as the largest and most complex machine engineered by humankind. Mm-hmm. And currently, power systems are facing unprecedented challenges and going through a paradigm change mm-hmm. from centralized generation to distributed generation and further on to smart grids. And we are going to see a vast number of renewables, electric vehicles, and energy storage systems connected to the power system.
Yes.
And we will also see that a huge number of different nodes to take part in the demand side response. And potentially, we could actually see millions or even billions of these different types of players in the power system. And this will make it very difficult, if not impossible, to operate a power system in the way that has been operated, simply because of the huge number and different characteristics of players in the system. And if we don't operate a power system well, then we could see large blackouts. For example, you might recall that in July 2012, a very large blackout happened in India, which is actually the largest one in the history, and it left 670 million people without electricity. And a lot of people have been working on this, and adding a communication network to operate in parallel with the power network is currently seen as the option to solve these problems. And it has attracted a lot of researchers into this area. Although it is certainly important to have additional communication networks to help solve the problem, we should never rely on the communication network for the low-level control of power systems. simply because a larger disaster could happen if the communication network breaks down. Ideally and naturally, we would expect a power system to be operated autonomously without heavy dependence on the communication and human interaction.
You're talking about control of the power inverters and renewable energy for the smart grid integration, and you're saying that the more connections that we make to the smart grid with this renewable energy, the more chances we have for power failure. Is that what you're saying?
To some extent, yes. Because the more players you have in a system, then the chance for them to fight with each other is higher. And then that might lead to a failure of the power system. So we need to find a solution so that a lot of players can work together to maintain the system, to make sure that no big disaster is happened.
Okay, so how do you propose to do that, Dr. Zhang?
Yeah, I think because there are so many different players, and we need to look at what kind of players are in the system. So there are generators on the generation side. We have coal-fired power plants, nuclear power plants, and hydro power plants, etc. And we will also see more and more wind farms, solar farms, electric vehicles, and energy storage systems to be added onto the generator side of a power system. And then on the customer side, we have many different nodes, like washing machines, fridge, freezers, and elevators, computers, lighting devices, and so on. So we need to find a simple mechanism so that all the players could follow without being told through dedicated communication network or by human being. The problem is, of course, how to find such a mechanism. And after about 12 years of hard working and thinking, we have actually identified a mechanism that fulfills this purpose. And that is to use the synchronization mechanism of synchronous generators. And synchronous generators are the generators used in big power plants. They could synchronize with each other or the grid without a dedicated communication network. Mm. And if all the players are able to follow the same mechanism, then it is going to be great. And then the first question is that, are we able to make wind farms, solar farms, electric vehicles, and energy storage systems, and so on, to follow the same mechanism and behave like synchronous generators? They are quite different. They have different characteristics. The wind blows and stops. The sun comes and goes. But are we able to make these to behave like synchronous generators to follow the same synchronization mechanism? And the answer is yes. We invented the synchroinverter technology in 2008, and this has made the interface of these energy sources with the grid to behave like conventional synchronous generators, so that these energy sources could interact with other generators in the same way as conventional synchronous generators. And then the second question is that, how about the customers or the loads? As I've just mentioned, there are many different types of loads, like washing machines, fridge, freezers, and so on. But how can we make them to follow the same mechanism? We have to think very, very hard, because they are quite different. Mm-hmm. And they behave differently, of course.
Yes.
But according to a report from the Electrical Power Research Institute,
okay,
although the loads are different, but actually about 50% of electricity is consumed by different motors.
Mm-hmm.
And about 10% of electricity is consumed by internet devices, like computers, servers, switches and routers and so on.
That makes sense, sure.
And about 20% of electricity is consumed by lighting devices.
Okay.
And then the rest, 20% of electricity consumed by other devices.
Mm-hmm.
So now, if we look at the electricity consumed by motors, then we would be able to say that this electricity would be eventually consumed by some sort of device called rectifier.
Mm-hmm.
Because in order to improve the energy efficiency of motors, we would often need to add a variable frequency generator to so that we are able to regulate the speed of motors.
Mm-hmm.
That means this 50% of electricity is actually consumed by something called rectifiers. And if we look at the electricity consumed by internet,
mm-hmm.
again, internet devices consume DC electricity, and they have also got rectifiers at the front end to interface with the grid. Now, we are talking about LED lighting, and it's reasonably to say that in 5 years, majority of lighting devices in the United States will become LED.
Okay.
And that means in the near future, about 20% of electricity will of lighting devices will be consumed by rectifiers as well,
mm-hmm.
because LED lights need a rectifier at the front end.
Okay.
That means in the future, about 80% of all 90% of electricity is going to be consumed by rectifiers, although the loads can be different.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, because of this, are we able to make the rectifiers behave like synchronous machines so that they will have the same synchronization mechanism of the conventional synchronous generators?
Can you?
And we have made this happen.
Oh, really?
And we have made the rectifiers
mm-hmm.
to behave like synchronous motors, which are another type of synchronous machine.
Okay.
Actually, the opposite operation of synchronous generators.
Wow.
So they have the same synchronization mechanism.
Mm-hmm.
And we are able to make the majority of the loads and all the generators in a power system to work together autonomously to maintain the stability of the system. And that is what we have proposed.
That is fascinating, and that you are able to do it in the first place, and I can see the necessity of doing that. Do you do this with electronic controls, a SCADA system, systems control and data acquisition? Is that how you do it?
We do it through control of the power inverters, basically the interface between the energy sources and the grid, and the load, the interfaces between the load and the grid.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All these interfaces to behave like conventional synchronous generators. So although they are physically different, but mathematically they are the same as conventional synchronous generators. So we have unified the interface between all these different players and the power network.
Well, is it going to be easy to add this interface all along the electrical grid in, say, like the United States?
It is going to be relatively easy because, as I mentioned, many loads have already got rectifiers in the system. And also, the wind farms, solar farms, and electric vehicles would have inverters at the front end as well. What we need to do is to change the controller of these rectifiers or the inverters so that they can have this mechanism. And of course, for the devices, for these to be added in the future, we could actually make the rectifiers or inverters to have this mechanism built in.
All right. Well, tell me this, Dr. Ching Chung Zhang. Are these connections going to be safe from, let's say, terrorists, people that want to penetrate the way the Stuxnet virus did in Iran, or let's say to somebody at blowing up a particular generating area or wind farm or something like that and causing a cascading power failure? Do you see a security problem here?
I think this is going to considerably enhance the reliability of power systems, because the majority of the players will behave in the same way, and they know how to talk with each other without relying on a communication network. So this will enhance the reliability of the system considerably.
Okay, now, when you do your keynote address at the Green Technology Conference in Corpus Christi in April, what is the one big message you want them, your audience, to take away, to truly understand from your talk? What is the one big thing you want to drive home?
The one big thing is that we have proposed an architecture for the next generation smart grid so that the majority of the players in a power system could behave in the same way as conventional synchronous generators, whether they are a wind farm, solar farm, or electric vehicles, or a smart load. They could follow the same mechanism to maintain the stability of the system. And this will help us reduce the cascaded failure of a power system.
Okay. What do you see in the future, 5 or 10 years from now? I know you already predicted the increasing use of LED lighting, but do you see more than that? What do you see 10 years and beyond?
We have started working with several international companies, and we would imagine that this technology will gradually be rolled out. Starting from small power systems like ship power systems, island power systems, and gradually to large power systems.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps it will take about 20 or 30 years for a big power system to be implemented in this way. And actually we are setting up a global research alliance to further develop this architecture. And we have already spoken to a lot of partners in the United States, Canada, China, Singapore, Israel, Denmark, Australia. So we are hoping to get some funding to support this architecture, this initiative.
Oh, so you see this is a world initiative in China and in all over the world, not just in the U.S.?
No, not just in the U.S. It's going to be a global initiative.
All right. And you think it's going to solve the problem that we have to worry about with terrorists shutting down our electrical grid?
You're right. Yes, that is our aim. It will happen.
All right. Dr. Ching Chong Zhang, the chairman in Control and Systems Engineering, Department of Automatic Control and Systems Engineering at the University of Sheffield in the UK, in England. And I thank you so much for being with us. It's wonderful to get this preview of this very fascinating and innovative talk that you're going to be giving at the Green Technology Conference in Corpus Christi. Thanks again.
Thank you very much.
Well, I have here on the phone with us right at the moment the man who's affectionately known as the energy guru of Texas, Kent Sadoff, I hope I'm pronouncing his name correctly, with the Electric Reliability Council of Texas. You know it as ERCOT. ERCOT supplies about 85% of the state's electric load, and that amounts to about 23 million Texas customers. So we have some interesting questions about how all this is handled. Certainly I've been wondering all the complexities of it, and so Kent has agreed to come on the program today for us. Kent, thank you so much for joining us.
Sure. Glad to do it.
Now, you've, as I understand, talking to your press officer, Robbie Searcy, that you've kind of really grown up with the whole expansion of the electrical grid in Texas. And you're fixing to retire here sometime shortly. And but you know where all the bodies are buried. So that's one good reason why we wanted to have you along. But kind of tell us, you know, from the beginning, when did you join ERCOT, and how have you seen the growth?
Well, you know, I've been with ERCOT a little over 25 years now, and ERCOT as an entity has changed quite a bit. Initially, we were just mainly an administrative office, and we coordinated what at that time we called operating guides that the utilities that made up ERCOT operated under.
Okay.
And we also did some federal reporting, met some federal reporting requirements.
Mm-hmm.
But we have changed in the past 25 years from a facilitator, I guess you'd call it, to an operator. We're an independent system operator of the electric facilities within the ERCOT footprint, which, as you said, covers about 85% of the state of Texas, all the major metropolitan areas, though. And, you know, as the system operator, we don't really own or directly control any transmission lines, generating plants, or distribution lines. But we direct the operations of the people that do own those facilities. And our primary job is to make sure that that every second that the amount of load that's in the ERCOT footprint is matched by the amount of generation.
Okay.
'Cause there's no real economic way to store electricity. It has to be generated the moment it's needed. So that's really a challenging function that we fulfill right now.
That has to be a gargantuan chore, and I want to get into that in just a minute, but I want to clarify some things. You don't own the power lines, or the electrical generating operations or something, but I guess then I'm in Dallas, and so here in Dallas we know of Oncor. Are they the ones that own the power lines in the Dallas area?
That's right. Oncor, they own and operate the transmission and distribution lines in Dallas-Fort Worth, and really they're the largest, we call them transmission distribution provider within ERCOT. They go all the way out to West Texas and all the way down to Central Texas.
Well, then Oncor has to be tied in to other people's transmission lines. For instance, who is Oncor's counterpart in, let's say, Corpus Christi?
In Corpus Christi, it's American Electric Power Company. They own the lines in Corpus Christi and down into the Rio Grande Valley.
So, if the Oncor lines are connected then to their lines too, with maybe some intermediaries, and all these carry an electric load that might be generated off a wind farm somewhere. Is that right?
That's right. It's ERCOT's an interconnected system. Oncor has interconnection points with its neighbors, which include American Electric Power. And you're correct. There are a number of transmission and distribution providers within ERCOT, and they are all interconnected by a network of high voltage transmission lines.
Okay, well, we got to take a break for the half hour, and then we'll be right back, and let's pick up on this where we left off. Okay, as we walk to the break at the half hour, we're going to pause at the door of the Den of Strangers, where we keep locked away all of the wisdom of mankind. In the Den of Strangers, will we meet today?
Louis Brandeis, thinking is not a heaven-born thing. It's a gift men and women make for themselves. It's earned by effort. The brain is like the hand. It grows with using.